Luke chapter 24, beginning reading in verse number 49. As Jesus leaves some last commandments here for the disciples and ultimately for all his children, we see here in verse number 49, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And we learn that Jesus is speaking of the promise of the Holy Spirit that would come in full power upon the church like never before. The Holy Spirit has only come upon people temporarily. Now, He's come in great power. But in a permanent residence, the Holy Spirit has not done this in an individual up until this point. And the Spirit of God is getting ready to come in full power to the church. And so Luke, writing here in chapter 24, we see that he is going to leave off there in the last few verses where Jesus ascends. We read there in verse number 50, "And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them." And notice verse 51, "And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them." How was he parted from them? Luke writes, "and carried up into heaven." And I'll just begin and finish reading since we're already there. "And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God." Amen. Let me pray and then we'll begin our study tonight in the book of Acts. Let's pray. Holy Lord God, I want to just utter my total dependence upon you tonight. I do want to thank you for this great book that we are going to study. And Lord, I'm asking, even right here in the beginning of the study, I'm asking for you to change us, Lord, as we study this book. Change me, Lord. Change me more into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ as I study and prepare. And Lord, as I preach, Lord, change us all together. Lord, make us more and more into the New Testament church that you are calling us to be. Father, I'm thankful for your goodness now, and I trust your faithfulness. I trust your guidance. I trust your teaching, Holy Spirit, and I most definitely trust your power from on high. So, Lord, lead us now, and we'll thank you for all that you do, even tonight and the many weeks to come. In Jesus' name we do pray and ask these things. Amen. Well, tonight I'm going to seek to use a little bit of the projector just for a little bit of teaching as well. Let me get this remote turned on and we'll get things going here. All right, let me go ahead and just turn this light off, maybe help a little bit. We can do that. But so we see here in the book of Luke that we just read is actually going to be the bridge that goes right into the book of Acts. The book of Luke, which I'll mention more here in just a second, is the writer of this book, but he's also the writer of the book of Acts. It's been said that, again, this book is a sequel to the Acts of the Apostles. And the title of this series, although there'll be many titles you'll see, but I guess if we had to sum the title all up in one, it would be that which you see on the screen. Acts, the Church Empowered. The Church Empowered. Now, I want to mention a couple things here. It's one of the analogies that's been given on as far as the church beginning or the church being empowered. My missions professor, Norman Johnson, who's in heaven now, he passed away last year of a sudden heart attack. But I remember him encouraging us in Bible college, because there's some controversy out there. I mean, good men differ on this, that's for sure. But there's some a little bit of difference of opinions on when exactly did the church start. Was it in the Gospels? Or was it in the book of Acts, even in the beginning here? Or was it just Pentecost? But there's some different views. But one of the ways he explained it helped me. He used the analogy of conception and birth in the physical life. He explained that it is obvious that the church was conceived in the Gospels because we see that Jesus teaches about the church. You go through the Gospels in certain areas, especially when it comes to the offenses and dealing with brothers that have been offended, sisters have been offended, and whatnot. He deals with that. He also talks about how the gates of hell should not prevail against the church. And so Jesus is teaching on the church, and he's preparing the apostles for what will be what I would call the birth of the church. The church made alive in the sense of being born into this world and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll read more details about that once we get to Acts chapter 2. But I believe the church was indeed conceived in the Gospels as Jesus was on earth and his earthly ministry, but it was not empowered. And when we're going to find now that even though they did have power from the Lord Jesus Christ, it wasn't as Jesus was talking about right here. He says, you fellows need to get to Jerusalem because I'm heading out of here. I'm paraphrasing. You know that. I'm leaving out of here. I'm going up to be with the Father, to sit at the right hand of the Father to make intercession. But when I go, the Holy Spirit will come. But you need to go and wait. The Father has promised it. He will come. And that's where we're going to get to the book of Acts. So let's go ahead and go over to that book. Just flip over a little bit and go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Introducing the book of Acts. Now, this did not turn out quite as big as I'd like, so I'm learning this projector, okay? And I'm learning how to use it, so I will adjust as we go. But I'll just read it to you here. He's talking about, first of all, I'm talking about the author, the writer of this book, and I mentioned that already, was Luke the physician. What are some things that indicate that? What are some evidences of that? Well, one is it's the same introduction to the book of Luke. If you hold your place there, you can see in the book of Acts, hold your place and go back to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, you can flip around with me here in your Bibles. Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. He says, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also," Luke writing, "having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus." So he is writing this to this seemingly apparent Gentile. We don't know a lot of details about him, but he is writing to him the account of the gospel, and he uses the same language over in Acts chapter 1. As you will notice, he says in Acts chapter 1, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach." And he goes on to say, "until the day in which he was taken up." So that's where he left off at the end of Luke. Jesus was taken up, as when he was explaining that, after through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. And he's going to go over. So we're not going to dive right into the book of Acts, but we see evidence of Luke. Also, we see several of the "we" sections that would indicate that Luke is the writer. I put those up there. We're not going to go to all those references, but you see as Luke writes that, he uses that pronoun "we," including himself. And he had a first account witness to the travels of the Apostle Paul. Have reason to believe that Luke was Paul's physician. And we'll see more about that as we study this book. But there's definitely evidence that points to that. There are other things that we may mention later on, but for the sake of time, we will cover that. Most of your theologians, most of the church fathers, the great majority, do all agree that Luke is the writer of this gospel. But then what is the subject of the church? The subject of this book, excuse me, it is the church empowered to evangelize the world. But ye shall receive power. All right? So the subject of this is talking about a group of assembled believers called the church, empowered to continue the message that started off in the Gospels, started off among the apostles, preaching Christ crucified and preaching the gospel, the kingdom, and then eventually preaching Christ crucified and risen again. And that is what the message is to the world. And that's what we'll see in the book of Acts. The church empowered to evangelize the world. You know, something I'm praying that the Lord would help us in this is to learn more and more our responsibility to evangelize. I don't think we can ever stop growing. It's just like prayer. No one can say in this room tonight that you have reached that pinnacle of the prayer life. Okay? If you have, we will talk about pride and humility later, but we'll get to that, okay? But no one's reached to that. And it's the same thing with evangelizing, folks. No one's reached that pinnacle of being where you are at the top and you are evangelizing perfectly every day. No. This is an area we're growing in. But it is God's will for us, that's key, to be growing in continuously. Not being complacent, not being settled. And that is exactly what God will teach the apostles and the church in this book. So we see that the subject, now the place, it begins in Jerusalem. That is there back in the book of Acts. That is where the disciples, the apostles, are gathered. Chapter 1, it's very clear. There's no doubt they have obeyed the command of the Lord Jesus, and they have gathered there in the book, in the city of Jerusalem, waiting on the promise. So that's where they are. But they don't stay there. Many will be sent out all over the world. And I'm thankful that they were obedient, because we sit here tonight and we have the Word of God and we know Jesus as our Savior because there was obedience to that great commission and the empowerment of the Holy Ghost, the gospel would eventually get to Europe and then the gospel would eventually get to the United States of America, and we sit here in 2019 with the gospel commanded to do the same thing that these brethren were doing this long ago, centuries ago, in obedience to the Lord God. So we see the place. But the key verse of this whole book is found in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. If you have it there in front of you, you can see it. I'll read it. Acts 1:8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Oh, wow. I tell you, brethren, we need to rejoice tonight that the gospel came to us. And we need to be thinking, okay, Lord, who will you send us to share the gospel? You know what I'm praying? I'm praying, you say, now that's a big prayer, Pastor. That's all right. You know what I'm praying? I don't always share what I'm praying, but I'm going to tell you what I'm praying because I just felt like it when I saw that word uttermost. I am praying that God, at some point in this, the life of what I'm pastoring here, or even when I'm gone, I am praying that God would call for someone from this church that will go to a place where they do not have a Bible. There are still places, there are over 6,000 languages in the world, church. At least half of them, if not more, are still in need of a whole Bible, and even hundreds and maybe even thousands who do not have any scripture. And I'm talking languages. The uttermost. I would say, and I hope you would agree with me tonight, that we have yet to reach all of the uttermost. And church, I think it would be good because we serve a big God. I believe He could call someone out of this church, whether it be a young man, a middle-aged man or whatever, or a young lady or middle-aged lady, whoever, family. I believe God Almighty, the Holy Spirit, can call somebody to go reach a people that still have not heard the gospel. I ask you to pray with me about that. Somebody that has a burden, perhaps for translation. Has an interest in languages, perhaps Greek and Hebrew, to be able to go and give people maybe even just the Gospel of John, maybe to work towards the New Testament. Oh, my friends, I believe that God's going to use our church to reach the uttermost, and I'm thankful for that. That was the command. So we see here that is the key verse of the whole book. And moving along here, I want us to notice about this name here. Now, you'll notice in your Bible, most likely it says up at the top, the Acts of the Apostles. Now, that's not the inspired Word of God there. That came just a little bit later in life, probably late 1st century, early 2nd century, to where the church fathers would give it that title. We see it's commonly given that, and it's my opinion that it could be more accurately titled the Acts of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father. It's interesting, I'll show here in just a second, now not to take away anything from the apostles, and not to be critical of that title, that's not what I'm saying, but I believe it could accurately and just as well be said the Acts of Almighty God. In fact, we see that the apostles are instruments of the triune God, but after doing some studying and beginning to study in this book, I see that it could easily be called the Acts of the Triune God demonstrated through the life of the church. Now that's really long, so we're not going to use that one, okay? But I believe it could be accurately because that's what we see. We see the hand of God so evidently and so clearly throughout this book. And it is a demonstration. And why do you say the triune God? Because we see the Trinity through this book. For instance, the word God is used 155 times in this book. The word God. And most times in reference to God the Father, but of course we know the God of our Bible is the triune God. But Jesus, the name Jesus is mentioned 67 times. The word Christ is used 30 times. The term Holy Ghost is used 41 times. And the word Spirit is used 10 times. And I didn't put all the references to God because you have just one, you have Holy One, and you have other references in the book of Acts. But these would be ones that were used the most. And so it is clear as I look at that, it is obvious that yes, the apostles were used of God. They were instruments to proclaim, we'll see, with Peter and Paul and many others. But behind it all were the great acts of the triune God. And you want to know who's behind every good thing that happens at this church? It's the acts of the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit working through the church. That's His design from the beginning that He would do that. And these disciples are, this book is going to help this group of people at this season, at this dispensation, I can use that word, He's going to teach them that this is a transitional time. He is choosing the church. As was before, He was primarily seeking to use the nation Israel, and there's going to be a transition to using the local church to provoke Israel to righteousness and to also win the Gentiles to Christ. So we see the Acts of the Triune God. Number one, we need to see the book of Acts as being transitional. As I just mentioned there, just quickly, the book of Acts is transitional because we see that it bridges the Old Testament in many ways to the New Testament. Now we know the Gospels is included in that, and that bridge, of course. But boy, you're talking about going from Judaism as well in the book of Acts. It's very clear that it's a transitional time. from the Old Testament into the New Testament. The understanding of the church. We'll see as we study this book, there was still, as you get into even midway, there are people still struggling with Judaism in the sense of, hey, we still got to stick with Judaism. We still got to follow the law. And there was a struggle there. But by the power of God, these apostles were preaching Christ. Christ is enough. Christ is enough. Him crucified and risen, He's enough. And that's what Peter will preach. That's what Paul will preach. And that's what the church preaches, that Jesus is enough. We see a transition from the Gospels to the epistles. We see the transition from Israel to the church. And by the way, let me just clarify here at the beginning. I don't believe God has forgotten about Israel. Thank God for that. Israel's still in the picture. God is still concerned about His chosen people. And He will actually use the church to provoke them in this dispensation. And may we not forget our great responsibility to love and win the Jewish people to the Lord Jesus, the true Messiah. He came for them and died for them. So we see that also a transition from Israel to the church, but also from the law to grace. From the law to grace. And aren't you glad we're not under the law tonight? Amen? Praise the Lord. I sure am. I don't know if any of you kids have dishonored mom and dad today, but if you did, if you were under the law, you'd be dead right now. I'd been dead a long time ago. That was some New Testament law, and there were some others there. I'm thankful we're not under that, you know, and there's even some things in that. We're going to look at the book of Acts that are no longer in practice. Because this book is transitional. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but there's some things that we will learn about that. The book of Acts is a historical and legal document for the church as well. It's historical because it gives the account of the transition of God sending the Holy Spirit there on the day of Pentecost. And empowering those people and bringing those people together in the birth of the first church there in Jerusalem. And we see the accounts that go through and all the things that we'll learn in a historical, and I say legal document too, because you'll remember Luke the physician at this time would write it in such a way that it would be helpful in understanding the function of the local church. How these churches in Jerusalem and how they're spreading, how what they can learn from this book, the example that was given. And through the centuries, of course, we see that it is a legal document showing us how they were to, practice church order. We learn things about deacons, for instance, in Acts chapter 6. What is the office of a deacon? What is the purpose of a deacon? It is found there in our Bible in the book of Acts. And we'll see it in other places too. But it's used for several of those things. The word church is used 18 times in this book, the book of Acts. In most references, it is used in the context of a local church just like this one. Just like Crooked Creek Baptist Church. Many churches in this book were just like this, a group of assembled believers seeking to do the will of God by the Word of God. This word is ecclesia. It basically means an assembled group. Sometimes it meant political, but in this context that we're talking about, the times, the uses that I'm referring to are assembled believers in the gospel, and for the purpose of worshiping, the purpose of serving, and whether you are in this nice building right here in Jackson County, or whether you're out under a shade tree in the continent of Africa, the church is the assembled group. It is a place that we, and then thankful we, God has provided this for us, because thankfully we can designate this as a place we meet. And when we go out and invite people to our church, we say in our invitation, we would like to invite you to our church. Okay? Well, the true definition of church is the assembled believers, but we've designated this place to come and to hear the Word of God preached and proclaimed. And so that is the definition of the church. It's history and historical. It's, we're going to learn about its birth, the beginnings, its order. We're going to learn about its persecution, what we can learn from that, and by the way, is still happening Not right here in America, maybe in some way, okay? But mainly there, as far as what it was, what they experienced in the book of Acts, I'm raising my hand here, but I can't relate. I truly can't. I try to. I say, Lord, please help me not to be spoiled. I know so many times I'm a spoiled American. I know it, Lord. Forgive me. Help me to understand how blessed I am as a Christian in America. Because that's not what they experienced. They experienced severe persecution. We'll learn about that. We also will learn about its expansion. We'll learn about how God used that persecution to propel them forward for the glory of God. And by the way, something that I've seen as an evidence in the book of Acts, and also have seen in the history of missions, when Satan has attempted to squelch the fire of the church planting endeavor and to try to hinder that work, I tell you what, it ends up sparking even of a multiplication of churches. And that's the way God works. And folks, I don't know. I'm not suggesting that I'm praying for this. I mean, nobody's asking, please come, Lord, send somebody to persecute me today. I mean, that's just kind of weird. Maybe we do need to pray it. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, may we pray at least, Lord, please protect us from getting too comfortable in our American Christianity. Lord, maybe we need to ask ourselves honestly that if we're not getting any persecution in our lives, maybe we just need to take an evaluation and ask ourselves, again, this is for all of us, maybe we need to ask ourselves, are we really living the life of a New Testament Christian? Because from what I understand, if we are living the life of a New Testament Christian, there is going to be some persecution. There is going to be resistance. There is going to be people that frown upon us and mock us and refuse us and reject us. That's going to be there. And if life is just a bed of roses, as I was mentioning this morning, we just need to take evaluation. And I believe this study is going to help us through the book of Acts to understand what God desires for us to do. We also see that the book of Acts is inspirational. Not just because it's the inspired word of God, because it is, but it is truly inspirational for the local church today in 2019. Just a few. I'm not going to be able to name all of them, but here's just a few. All right? It's inspirational because of, these are some topic subjects that you will see that we will look over and study. Power, boldness, unity, prayer, preaching, witnessing, mission, suffering, praise, leadership, service, salvation, call of God, surrender, humility, providence of God. That's just to name a few. I'm sure God will lead us to many more topics. But boy, you talk about being inspired and encouraged, we're going to get it. If we'll come into this book with hungry hearts and ready to say, God, change our church. Oh, God, set a fire in our bosom, Lord, to serve you and to be like the New Testament church. I believe that is the model that we find here. That is what God desires for us to do. I also believe the book of Acts is biographical. I believe it is an explanation and description of characters through the book of Acts. Primarily, sorry it's a little cut off there, but primarily it describes the ministry of Peter and Paul. We'll notice there in chapters 1 through 12, the focus is Peter's ministry. His base is Jerusalem. His mission is to the Jews. Not that Paul's mission wasn't. But it was his call, Paul's call was to the Gentiles, and his base was Antioch. And we'll study his journeys there, 13 and 14, is his first one, 15 through 18, his second, 18 through chapters 18 through 21 will be his third, and then 21 through 28 we'll see in prison and, him going to Rome. But we do see, very clearly that is, biographical in the sense of describing them. But along with these two, men of God, these servants of the Lord, we'll learn about Stephen. We'll learn about Philip and Barnabas and Apollos and Silas and Cornelius, Aquila and Priscilla, John Mark. We'll learn about James, who was the pastor of Jerusalem, of the church in Jerusalem. We'll learn about these characters and many others. And God's going to teach us some things through their lives, I guarantee you. And so we see that this was the general area that they're going to be reaching out to right here initially. We see, of course, they're starting off right here in Jerusalem. Those of you that are over here, they're starting off right here, and God's going to send them all over the place. But it will start right here, and He will send them all over the world. And we, again, sit here today worshiping because of folks being obedient to the Great Commission. I'm sure of it. And another picture just kind of gives you an image here, a little black and white image. Again, they're going to start in Jerusalem, and God's going to send them everywhere. But it's interesting how God works. And again, the acts of the triune God are all in the, as we study this book, that's where we see, because He's actually going to bring them from all those areas. These areas that you see here, all around Jerusalem, He's going to actually bring the Jews that have already been scattered. He's going to bring them in, as we see in Acts chapter 2, for Pentecost. And they're going to come from these regions. That's where, down in Africa, where we learn about those even coming from this area of the world. They're going to come in, and God's going to send them back out. And that's something that I, again, am praying for our church, that God will send forth missionaries even out of this congregation. Send them through and send them out and send more and they'll send them out. I'd love that. That would be wonderful. I believe that is a New Testament model. And so as we get through this book, we're going to again ask God to change us to exactly who He wants us to be. And for the next introductory message to this, I don't know that we'll get right into verse 1, but I do want to, I think something we definitely need to spend some time on before we dive right into chapter 1 is interpreting the book of Acts. All right? Because we do interpret it differently than we do the epistles. All right? Why? Again, because it is a transitional book. And that is a fundamental principle to understand when studying the Word of God and building one's doctrine. Again, we know that it's profitable. It's not any question. And we know there are doctrines there that we do learn from. But there are some practices that I believe God put in place for a transitional time. And we will learn about that. But while we wait for the next message, let's just pray even tonight that the Lord would help us to grow as we study this book. Let's pray. Father, again, we are rejoicing for the opportunity to study Your Word. I know that there are literally hundreds of people groups around this globe who do not even have a Bible. Lord, if You would see fit in Your power, I pray that You would call out someone from this assembly, Lord God, that will have a burden and a call from You to go and to give someone the Word of God. Lord, I do pray that You'd help us to have a burden for reaching the world, to be empowered, of being unified together, even right here in our local assembly. Lord, to be in prayer, to grow in our prayer life. Father, to be growing in our courage. Lord, help us in our suffering. Help us to be strengthened. Lord, thank You again. We rejoice in everything that You're accomplishing in and through us as we yield to You. So we give You the glory now. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen.